Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your indulgence of time here. We're a little bit after 5:30, but nevertheless, we'll call to order our meeting of Thursday, April 7th, our public hearing of Thursday, April 7th, 2022 at 5:30 p.m. This is the time advertised for the continuation of a conditional use application number 2022-01. Let me just make a note that before we get into the meeting, it is posted within the meeting room, but we'll advise all persons present that it is the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes, number one. And number two, I don't know how the controls and everything work in here, but at the last meeting we had, I got an email from one of the folks that was in the audience that said that they couldn't hear us well. So if anybody has a problem, and I see Becky in the far back of the room, please let us know, because I suspect that the volume even on these microphones can be controlled, and sometimes we do inadvertently turn them off so that you don't hear us coughing or sneezing or whatever, but we'll do a much better job of keeping our articulating clearly and being speaking loud enough so everybody can hear, because I'm sure sitting there is frustrating if it's that we don't know what we're saying. So with that, we call the meeting to order. Mr. Emmerich, I would just ask that you do please conduct the roll call.
Sure. Member Zemuda?
Here.
Member Karaka?
Here.
Member Nutt?
Here.
Member Wyckoff?
Here.
Chairman Abruzzo?
Here.
And full board.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. With that, we'll move to the first item under new business. And as I said, this is the reconvening of the public hearing regarding conditional use application number 2021-01 is filed by the Hershey Trust Company, trustee for Milton Hershey School, amending the previously approved conditional use application number 2018-01 for the Hershey West End Master Plan. The first item is really, it says introduction, but isn't this really the beginning, the continuation of the hearing? So now let me just ask, because we should probably start, or if you mentioned, are we waiting for Mr. Schutte?
We can start. He'll be here any minute now.
Okay, so
Neil was going to start.
Neil was going to start. Neil was the last
He was the last speaking one, so it was going to be a little bit of a continuation of what he talked about. So I think we can keep going, Chris.
Okay. And then let me ask our solicitor, Mr. Armstrong, is there anything, do you want to begin in any way? Is there any comments you want to put on the record before we invite the first witness back to the stand?
So, we've opened up the hearing again. We're convening the hearing on this conditional use application. The only thing I will do for purposes of housekeeping is there was an additional notice published for this evening's hearing, and we're going to mark that as Township 7. I'll wait until Mr. Schutte gets here to make sure he can object. But with that, I believe we're with Mr. Fisher. If Mr. Fisher wants to stand up, and I'll remind you that you are still in the room. I see for the record that Mr. Schutte did just walk in the door. Not to put you on the spot, but what I marked as Township 7 is just another provisional location.
Okay.
Any objection?
No.
Okay.
Everybody can take it. And we're all good now. Everybody's here. We were all running late, David, so everybody's good. Take a deep breath. We didn't get, we're ready to start back.
You're not in Charlotte anymore. You're good.
And as promised, there is nothing else after this hearing, so you guys, we're going to get through this and get it all done. So, turn it over. Neil, you know where you left off?
Yes.
So, okay, go.
I had finished my testimony, and we were in questions at the last time. But before we dive back into questions, listen, it's been a month. I thought it'd be a good idea if we just give a real brief recap of kind of our discussion from last time, refresh it in everybody's head, and then talk about we provided some supplemental information that I want to present to the board tonight, give a little more clarity in certain areas of the project. So I can skip through a lot of this, a lot of the stuff we were introduced to the Hank group and who we are, the type of development, the type of communities that we build. So I'll stop here on this slide. I want to use this to kind of put us back in the mindset. A little bit of history. January 2019, that's when the master plan, the original master plan for this project was approved. The Hershey Trust, currently out on site, they're currently constructing the infrastructure associated with West End Avenue, the connection to Bullfrog Valley and over to Waltonville. That work is underway, along with the storm sewer, the sanitary sewer, the infrastructure associated with those works. Hershey Trust and Hank Group, we formed a partnership. We entered into a partnership agreement for the development of two pieces of Hershey West End, Units J and Unit K. I'll show you and make sure we just refresh everybody's memory as far as where that falls on the site plan in a minute. But the partnership is not just for the development of the project. The partnership is a long-term partnership. It's one for development, it's one for construction, and it's ownership. We look at this as a legacy for both of us. And then January of this year, we submitted an application. Our conditional use application was to modify the previous master plan, make some amendments to the master plan. Then in April of this year, this month here, we submitted a modification to our previous application. So these are the conditional use items that we touched on at our last hearing. And they're still the same. Amendment to the master plan and development phase. The amendment to the master plan touches on building types, configurations, the removal of street weight, and driveway modifications. This is the approved master plan. This is the one that was done in 2019. See if there is a laser. Okay. So,
just is this an exhibit?
It will be. Yes.
Should we mark it so the board can come?
Yeah. Well, I'd
rather than him to test.
Yeah. Where are we with applicants' exhibits?
That was the
PowerPoint that was presented on March 7th.
Correct. I do not believe I have anything after applicant 19.
I think that's correct. So why don't I mark a couple things here for everybody. This is going to be applicant's exhibit 20, which is the entire presentation to have here. So this would be applicant's exhibit 20.
And this is the presentation that
Yeah, that's the PowerPoint that's up on the screen now.
Thank you.
You're keeping track of the record for Claire, is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then also provide what we 21, 22, and 23. 21 is a revised site plan or amendment to the master plan.
This is
applicant 21.
But an amendment to the amendment?
It's a revised amendment to the conditional use of plan.
Okay.
So it more or less replaces the one that was provided in the booklet, yeah.
Okay. Has this been presented, has this been submitted to the township yet?
Yes.
For review?
For review?
I think we decided that it would be better to present it at the hearing rather than...
I was reluctant to take anything officially because I felt since the hearing was on that it should be presented publicly.
So this is 21.
This is applicant 21?
That would be, that would replace the, I don't know all the exhibits by heart, but it would replace the, I'll let you know. Yeah.
Two more. This would replace the... This would replace the... the site plan that is within Exhibit 4 in the booklet that was provided at the first hearing. I think. Yes. Yes.
And would it also replace the plan sets that are attached?
To Exhibit 12, probably, yes, too. Maybe. For these? Okay, yeah. Well, this is new. Yes. The ones that, well, I think were attached to Exhibit 12 as well. But I think this essentially replaces what was within the application.
Applicant 21 is a revised plan set that replaces the previously submitted amended master plan plan set.
Yeah.
And this applicant 22 is a revised shared parking packet analysis that is replacing the previously submitted parking shared parking analysis that was part of the application.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yes. And then one final piece here, and this doesn't really change a whole lot, but part of the application package is also a revision to the phasing schedule. This is replaces that exhibit showing the revisions to the phasing schedule. Which again was part of Exhibit 4, which is the initial application. And this is just to to mirror the items that are on the revised site plan that is exhibit 20.
So exhibit 23 is the revised amendment master plan pages.
Correct.
Again, not applicants 20 through 23 have not been submitted, other than this evening, have not been submitted for
correct.
Correct. For review.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. And back to Mr. Fisher.
Mr. Fisher, I believe you are testifying to what's been marked as applicant 20.
Correct.
Specifically, a.
Would you believe me if I told you this was supposed to clarify here?
Great. And just for the record, on the page immediately prior to the plan, I believe, or maybe a couple before that, it had January 2023. So it's fair to say it should be 2023.
Neil.
That's forward thinking.
Yes. Sorry. Yes, fair enough. Yes. Take your after there. We're probably right here.
That made it by my boss. I'm surprised.
Okay. So I know you're familiar with the site, but I'm going to just to orient everybody. Top of the page is 322, Fort Valley Road, Milton Hershey Hospital, and Waltonville Road. So when I said that West End Avenue is under construction, it's the portion that's running through in the east-west direction, main road thoroughfare. The plan that we're looking at here, this is the approved conditional use master plan, right? And what we had a lot of discussion about at the last hearing was creating a streetscape. So you can see with this plan, there was lower density up against Walton or West End Avenue, and then the higher density occurs back into the project, and then again back into lower density. Really, the opposite of the way towns were developed and formed. This is a little bit closer view showing the same thing, the same development. But in this situation, what we did was we highlighted in green unit J and in blue unit K. Just so we're all, these are the two pieces of the Hershey West End that the Trust and the Hankin Group are partnered on for the development and are part of this application. J and K are part of this application. The plan that's in front of you now, the January 4, 2020 master plan, this was the plan that we used to talk about the project last month. Here you can see what our goal was to put the density up on West End Avenue, create the main street. What we did was we concentrated on J. In hindsight, K, in my opinion, formed confusion because the buildings that are shown on K don't match really the remaining development potential. So what we did was this is the new part of the application. So we looked at it and said, all right, well, how would we envision K and how would we envision the transect going from Main Street through the multifamily, through the townhouses, and ultimately ending up in the single family community. So here you have Hershey West End Avenue. You can see the larger buildings are the corridor buildings. The orange buildings are the walk-ups. And then the yellow are the townhouses. And you can see that it really creates a transect or a higher density to a lower density form. And it's based on traditional neighborhood principles. And that's really the way the towns have developed over time.
higher densities on Main Street, where you want the population, where you want your activity. And then as you progress outward, building styles continually, the form of the buildings change until ultimately you get the single family units. And that's what we have set up here with this project now between J and K, and then the future single family homes. This is just a little bit closer view. And then here's even closer. This is a close up of our proposal for J and K. So the brown buildings, quarter buildings, the orange buildings being manor house, walk-up units. If it's a single, it's a small walk-up. If it's a double, it's a large walk-up, consistent with the pattern book that's been approved as part of this project. And the yellow buildings are townhouse units. What this plan does is it mirrors the density of the approval plan. So from a townhouse perspective, if you jump back to what was on the approved master plan from 2019, it was 121. If you jump forward and you look at our proposed project, it's 121. If you look at the previous one, as far as single family homes, there's 17. They're located right here. There's no change. There's still 17. So from a density standpoint, from a unit mix standpoint, there is no change. What we're doing is we're shifting the density from J up into K in order to create and establish that
matrix. It's the other way, from K to J.
From K to J. Taking density from K and moving it into J, creating our matrix. That really becomes the heart of the whole application. That's perfect. I will point out, and I know we talked about this a little bit at the last hearing, Street D and the elimination of Street D and really the purpose of that. Street D was going to function as an alley on the original master plan. We didn't see a need for that, and to create a more harmonious block within the community, we proposed the elimination of that. We looked at it from a traffic perspective and saw it as a benefit to the project. Now, when we went through with planning for K, I would say that we held the traditional neighborhood principles, meaning we maintained the streetscape. Part of traditional neighborhood design is the relationship between the street, the curb, the sidewalk, the trees, and the buildings, and making sure that they all knit together in a very neat way, in a way that is inviting for whether you're living in the building or you're walking down the sidewalk. When we laid this out, we also found that there are other unique opportunities. If you look at 3A, you can see that there is a green space. There are townhouses that are fronting each other. Now, that creates an opportunity to create a muse. You may be familiar with a muse, you may not be. You often see these settings on college campuses, you know, where you create spaces where buildings are fronting on each other. It's interconnected with pathways for walkability and to invite the public in. But it really becomes a very beautiful setting with the types of landscaping that we integrate into that area. So this muse, you can see it will form a connection, north-south connection, through a pedestrian path running through the block of 3A. In addition, we also, there is a planned park in a future phase. And we think that there's an opportunity with 3B to really orient some of the townhouses facing that park, having a sidewalk that will interconnect between the streets and create also a very kind of unique setting for those townhouse units.
and kind of pull some of those park features across the street and into the green space that can be provided on the corner. Now, the building types, because our building types we are shifting them around, we did propose to adjust access points. I know we talked about that as well at the last hearing, but I think our access points have been shifted to fit the buildings. On 4A, 2H, really because of the elimination of Street D, we end up with fewer access points. The block will only have two access points here. Same thing with as we move into Unit K and with the townhouses, we also relocated access points to fit the buildings. Another question that came up during the hearing last time was building height, and really wanted to have an understanding of building height as it relates to the zoning ordinance. There are two building height requirements. There is a zoning ordinance requirement that has a building height limitation of 60 feet. And the building height requirement goes from the mean grade at the base of the building to the peak of the roof. So that's your full building, everything that you see exposed. All of our buildings are less than 60 feet. The pattern book that was part of the conditional use, part of the original application, went into more detail. And really, my rationale, kind of the thought process behind that was to make sure that you don't have a 60-foot tall building next to a 20-foot tall building. It was relating to the scale of the projects and how they interrelate to each other. So within the pattern book, what you see in blue are the requirements within the pattern book. Actually, all of these details are taken out of the pattern book. So townhouse requirements, 35 feet. That 35 feet is not the same as the zoning requirement that goes from the mean grade to the peak of the roof. There is a definition in the pattern book that says it goes from mean grade to the eave, or basically where the shingles stop, the eave of the roof, okay? So it's looking at your floor-to-floor height plus the amount of space between your finished floor and the average grade. So the three-story townhouses, there are some of the units will have to be three stories from a townhouse perspective. 35 feet is our maximum. If it's a two-story, 26 feet. Walk-up units also have a building height of 35 feet. I just want to make sure I'm reading that correctly. I have my glasses on, but it's a little harder to get. The worst my eyes get. So, yes, 35 feet.
I zoomed in.
Oh, 35 feet. So really, the walk-ups in the townhouses have the same building height, floor to floor, as the three-story and the walk-up units. 35 feet, we will comply with that. Same thing goes with small walk-up units. They're the same, they're the same structure, 4 to 4, approximately 11 feet, 4 to 4. So 11 times 3 is 33, and then we have 2 feet of average grade around the buildings. So 35 feet on whether it's small walk-up or large walk-up. And it doesn't matter from an architectural style, whether we go with colonial or craftsman. One of the things that I mentioned last time is that not only do we have a variety of use or a variety of building types within this, we're also varying architectural styles. Craftsman, which is really what the township building is, and colonial, which is more traditional. I'll show you a picture of that in a little bit.
And then corridor buildings. Corridor buildings have a maximum height of 38 feet, and that's from the eave to that average grade. Again, you comply with that. And comply with the zoning ordinance that the height, overall height, does not exceed the zoning. So we're complying both zoning and the previous conditional use approval. And then a couple of images of some of the buildings and where we stand on architecture. If you look in the upper right-hand corner, you can see a layout of Unit J. And the red dot represents kind of from where the image is being taken from. So what we have on the corner is a small walk-up unit and a corridor building adjacent to it. So those are the two buildings in the image there. And we have both two-story and three-story townhouses within Unit K. What you can see is two-story townhouse units being proposed in this image. Okay. And then the third image that we have here is a corridor building, and also up along West End Avenue, where you can see one of the corridor buildings here. So I just want to summarize this a little bit. No change in units, or no change in density. Our proposal is to take units from K and put them in J so that we can create the Main Street that we're looking to achieve. We're also looking to shift around driveway locations and eliminate Street D, which, as I said, functions as an alley only serving really that internal unit. That, I hope, clarifies a little bit of the application. I think in the previous one, we didn't concentrate on K. We said, let's concentrate on J, and have J, Unit J being our focus. So there, now what we wanted to do is come in and kind of give you the entire picture so there would be a full understanding of the project.
Thank you. This is very helpful. My question is...
But I wish I was a Hankin.
Oh, of course. I gave you a giant promotion.
That it would.
So K is not part of what we're looking at. You just gave us K so that we would have a better idea of what this project looks like as a whole.
So correct? Our original application contained both J and K.
Okay,
so... Because we just didn't plan in. So what we were saying in the original application is everything that we said here tonight. We wanted to take density from K and put it in J. But we didn't change the layout. And I think that's where it was confusing. Right?
Right?
It was confusing. Because you saw these big buildings and we're like, well, the density doesn't match the type of building. I understand. So we're happy either way. I mean... Listen, technically, the entire application is before you. The modification can be for J and K, and with this building, with these footprints, and shifting, really just showing the modification of the shift, I think that that's probably what you would be most comfortable with.
But the first two hearings, we were just looking at J. I just want to be clear, we were just looking at J, and a lot of our questions were because of we didn't see K.
To be clear, I believe the original amendment to the master plan included both revisions to J and K. It's just this latest revision to the proposed amendment gets into more detail in K, as opposed to just saying, yes, we're doing that. They're showing it.
And you are correct.
Okay. So the original one was both J and K. It's just they didn't show specifics with respect to it.
Yeah, and just to make something very clear that Neil said earlier,
can you come up to the mic?
Sure. Other item that is, or the other aspect of what's being presented this evening. In the original application, there was, because the K was not designed yet, there was a decrease in the number of townhouses units and an increase in the number of apartment units. That no longer exists because K has now been planned. So the increase of 61 apartment units is no longer part of the application. The decrease in 61 townhouse units is now no longer part of the application. Just want to make sure that's very clear. That's the result of K being developed.
I was actually going to ask that question because in this revised application 21, if you look at those numbers, it looks like it reverts now back to what
back to exactly what was approved.
So let me ask, and this is, I think we can clarify some things with you and maybe a few other ways. But this is to you, David.
Yes.
Township staff has not reviewed this revised. What are you looking for? I think we can proceed with the hearing this evening, get things on the record, but at the end of the day, I don't know, I think this board is going to like to have this reviewed a little bit more in detail than just sitting up here tonight and closing the record. Meaning, give us an opportunity after tonight to review this a little bit more in detail and then come back. We'll probably continue this after hearing your witnesses in the event there are any questions or issues that I brought up.
I don't disagree that the township should have an opportunity, that the township staff should have an opportunity to review this. I think that part of not submitting it as a formal submission would be that we are in a hearing now and we want to have all of the evidence submitted on the record at hearings rather than being submitted to the township before being presented as evidence at the hearing. So I don't necessarily disagree. However, as far as taking much more time on this, I don't think it's necessary because I think what you have before you now is what was, as far as unit count, what was approved, which should take away all questions related to traffic, take away all questions related to density and those items.
I'm just looking at this for the first time, and I'm seeing changes in the parking lot acts, like different layouts.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of traffic.
That's not
my special.
Right.
So I'm not going to be able to tell you what's...
And that would also need to go through my development approvals.
Correct.
And one suggestion, if it's determined that we do...
Does he have to be sworn in?
I don't know. Ken Ball, I was sworn in before.
Okay.
So just a suggestion, if it's determined that... a continuation is needed, because it really should be a short meeting at that point, maybe a continuation with the idea that the approval is scheduled for that night also.
Yeah, I mean that's going to be
that's up to the board.
I wanted to ask David because this is the first time tonight after we've kind of spent time looking at the other stuff.
Yeah.
Let's this board needs an opportunity to review
I don't disagree that the township staff should have an opportunity to review this for the benefit of the board, but we did not want to submit it to the township staff before this hearing because we want to try to keep the evidentiary record the way it is.
So I just wanted to get that out there because I don't see the hearing closing tonight. When you continue it, once staff has an opportunity to review this and come back, yeah. I think the board can determine when. I don't anticipate it's going to be a significant amount of time. I'm looking at Chuck because he'll probably be one of them looking.
Significant amount of time to reschedule the hearing or to review the plans?
Well, I think they go hand in hand to the extent that the board is going to be there whenever it's.
Sure. So, agenda packages for next Tuesday's meeting were completed today. The meeting of the 26th, we already have two hearings at. So if we would reconvene on a regular meeting night, let me just look. Unfortunately, I think that's taking us into May.
Well, let's do this. Let's keep going, because I think we can ask questions, and you can give your testimony. We can maybe narrow down some of the issues if there are any. But I just want to get that out there so we're not going for the next 2 hours and then you're surprised when I say, hey, you're going to probably have to continue.
And we could also make some of what we're discussing subject to, or whatever we're working at, subject to the township staff's review.
I want to give you something to think about while you're contemplating the...
I just wanted to make it clear, too, for our residents that are here, that this is the first time that you're seeing this, too. So I know our residents are sitting out here, like, we have a lot of questions, and now we probably have more, because this is our first time seeing it, too.
As far as things that are covered, there is a difference between conditional use and development, land development. Access driveways, land development, not conditional use. The conditional use items are really contained in J and have already been reviewed by township staff, meaning the elimination of, so really what's coming down, it's the elimination of street D, and that was already reviewed and from a traffic standpoint. And the conditions that were placed on that from your engineer, you voluntarily accepted. So really, as far as K goes, as far as conditional use, it's a site plan modification. It's a matching of the density, and that's it. It's street access points, land development. So it really isn't a conditional use item in K.
Well, the internal layout. The parking lot and the access roads, that's part of the master plan. It's shown on the master plan. It's part of the master plan. But
they're allowed to be handled through land development. Modifications to those access points and internal driveways are
correct. But if it's going to be shown on the master plan, the board needs to review it. Did you have some sort of
wise? So I just want to make sure that we're following, because so based on what David, you had said, and Neil, you had said, it sounds like, you know, the last two hearings we were talking about, one of a focus of our questioning at that time had to do with the essentially swapping out of townhomes and apartments in terms of numbers. It sounds like what you're saying tonight in this, what you presented to us this evening, is those numbers are remaining. They're going to stay the way they were originally proposed as 2019 plan. I just want to make sure that we're clear, because that was a focus of a lot of questions, and there may be other questions that we have as we go through this, but I know many of my questions are predicated on that changing townhomes to more apartments.
You are correct, and really, so all this plan does is, you know, gives us the ability to create that streetscape on West End Avenue. Maintains density as it was previously provided.
Okay. I'm just thinking, just for a second. Is everybody following? I want to make sure we're all at the same spot before we keep moving forward. Yes.
Neil, we are looking at J and K, and the new plan has 19 phases. So, am I understanding that correctly? The first plan that was approved in 2019 had 5 phases, and now this new piece of paper has a total of 19. Now, I know some of them are completed. I guess my question for the group is, if we're looking at J and K, how many more times will the group be coming to the township to look to us for additional changes? And will they come in, we'll see M, or will we see some of them together? I just am trying to get a handle of it, because 5 phases is pretty, okay, there's probably 5 times. This is 19.
I don't know if Neil's the right person to answer.
Okay.
But I was happy to give you a general answer, because certainly have a lot of experience with master plans. Right? All of our plans are master plans. We build large projects, we buy large pieces of land, and we create communities. Master plans
or a guide to get you to create a vision for a project. And then townships, what they typically do is they set up a conditional use process. Conditional use process is there so that as we create developments within that master plan, that we come back and present that to you. That way, you see the type of projects, and there are opportunities to have impact and influence over that development. So, when you ask, will there be additional, I'm assuming you're asking, will there be additional future conditional use hearings on future phases? Certainly, I'll let Ken respond, but in general, I would say yes. And that's because every specific user is going to have certain requirements. Those requirements, your best guess, and you put those rules out in the master plan to create the type of community. But then when that user comes in, whether it's, say, it's a grocery store, or it could be an office building, could be a medical office building, could be a senior community, they have ways that those buildings need to function to make them efficient. Right, to allow them to operate correctly. You don't know who that's going to be when you create a master plan. So when you have that user, you will come back into the township through the conditional use process, where it's very minor, then maybe it's just land development. But it's an opportunity, you should view that as it's an opportunity to have a voice in the type of community that's being developed.
So, and I think that's where, at least personally, I struggled the last couple of hearings, because we were looking at Jay without having the benefit of looking at the rest of it. And so when I see 19 now, I worry that the same thing will happen, that it will be hard for this board to look at pieces without having the benefit of knowing the whole thing.
Neil, if I can correct a couple things here. First of all, the changes to the phasing schedule are not really changes to the phasing schedule at all. Rather, we're just renumbering some things. If you look at the new phasing schedule,
the phasing schedule on the previous amendment, we're changing the phasing.
No. These are basically all of this. The only changes to the phasing schedule between the one that was submitted, with the application for the amendment and the one that was presented this evening, the only changes in there are the number of townhouses and the number of apartments to make that up to date and to show some of the changes within it. It was just the numbers of townhouses and the number of apartments was the only change from what was included with Exhibit 4 to what was submitted to you as, I believe, Exhibit 23. Now, as to the actual phasing schedule from the original approval to now, that is not changing substantially in any way either, except we have decided to use letters instead of numbers mirror the condominium units that have or are being created internally. But if you look to the right of the colored sheet, there are still five phases, and then phase S is the estimated timeline phase S is the infrastructure plan that has already been approved.
It makes more sense now, I think. We initially, when we were looking at the new phasing schedule,
right,
we were counting up the number of
correct
units. But we wouldn't want to be back here 19 times looking
right
at little pieces.
Exactly.
We do now see the legend here.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that mirrors phases 1 through 5, and then throws also in this phase S, which is the infrastructure phase that the land development plan has already been approved, and the stormwater facilities are working very hard right now Aye.
So then looking at that, it looks as though K would be its own phase.
Yes, and that was, that's identical or nearly identical to what we had in the original approval. And then I think the other, I think the other point that needs to be made to clarify what Neil was saying is that, yes, there may be changes from the master plan to what is ultimately being developed. That's true. However, not every change requires this board to have a conditional use hearing in order to have that change approved. Many changes, many minor changes, are permitted through the land development plan process. And I think there's the ordinance has a specific set of which ones must be approved through the conditional use process, which ones can be approved just through land development. And again, the reason why we're here is because ultimately, even with now designing CAD, there's still 1,000 more square feet of building space, which requires us to be here. And then also with the removal of Street D, that changes the traffic circulation.
Yes, the intent for minor revisions or modifications at the time of land development, it will be before you regardless.
Yeah.
But other substantial
exactly. But that is set forth in the ordinance very specifically which ones need to have a conditional use hearing and which ones can be done through land development where
and some are subjective to with respect to the zoning officer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
It determines whether or not
certain
revisions to the plan.
Exactly. Yeah. So not every minor change of the plan, like if the orientation of a building on one of the units changes, but the square footage doesn't change, the parking doesn't change, the traffic circulation doesn't change, that's probably something that just goes through Chuck and it comes to you for land development plan approval. But in this instance, because we are removing a street, thus changing the traffic circulation, we think for the better, and increasing the total building area from what was originally approved by more than 1,000 square feet, that's one of those types of changes that would then require us to be before this board in a conditional use hearing context.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we get Mr. Fisher back up?
Exactly.
So we can ask him some questions.
Right.
And then I see you have two consultants that are probably being paid to be here this evening. So why don't we try to get through some of the testimony?
We're perfectly fine with this.
Testimony?
Sure.
So we can keep moving forward. Would that show up? Because everyone's on the same page. Now we're going to conclude.
The other point that I need to make before Mr. Fisher speaking in is, while he is very experienced in these types of projects, the Hank and Hershey LLCs that have been established will only be developing J and K. So, I mean, he cannot really answer to what's going to happen in M, F, or G.
Well, can I ask you then, David?
Yeah.
That's fair, and I appreciate you telling us that.
Yes.
I think I caught indoor Neil's part of his presentation at that point. I want to knock on wood when I say this because I think I'm following everything you're saying, and I think we've accomplished something based on what you've submitted, the revised submission.
Yes.
But moving forward for the next phases, regardless of who's developing them, would you commit on behalf of your client to perhaps prior to submitting a conditional use application for the next phase or the following phase after that, meeting with the township and sort of advanced visibility we have to what you're doing gives us an opportunity to weigh in a constructive way, and then I think makes the process. We recognize we don't have a whole lot of control over each phase, but
and in this instance, there was communications through, I believe, the the land development subcommittee.
Yes, and I'm not trying to.
And we did have informal communications with Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Emmert before the submission.
All learned a lot about in the last 6 months about master plans, how they work. Because this is a newer concept to the township, right? This hasn't been around for 20 years, the concept of a master plan. So, but what I'm looking for, and so I'm not criticizing anything in the past, but I'm just saying in the future, I think this would go more smoothly for everyone involved if we had earlier input, if you will commit to that. Not that we didn't before,
but
I think we now understand
absolutely
how we can do it more constructively.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we've all learned, Chris. Chuck, can you go back to the facing plan real quick? There is one change to that I don't think was kind of glossed over. The one lot J, which...
Just to make it clear, Mr. Gall, you've been previously sworn in. You're still sworn in.
I'm still sworn in, yes, absolutely. Lot J, one thing to note, because I think this was a comment from the staff as we brought this in, the area that's closest to Waltonville Road is not buildings, but that is open space or parkland, and that's the area that's being would be developed as part of J as a dog park. So just so you're clear that will be part of the development of Lot J.
What part is? Show me again with that part, because I was curious.
Chuck, do you want to? Yeah. Right there.
That will remain open space.
It won't be open space entirely. The intent is to build a dog park.
So it won't be like a retention pond?
No,
it looks like it's between two stormwater.
From a land development plan, I don't think that's the... It's between the two. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so that was a positive result of the meetings we've had is to say... You're showing all these things occurring. When are they occurring? That's occurring as part of the development of Lot J. So, and then he else committed to that.
His dog on
so is Ken.
On behalf of Hirsch, we do commit to, if we have additional changes for any of the future phases, that we will reach out to the township early and set up whatever informal meetings, keeping within the Sunshine Law too.
We'd be happy if they were done, a public meeting. We've done that with one of the other developers. And I think both sides sounded very constructive.
They were
giving us an early look. They were hearing from us, but it was public. And so it was very constructive, I think. So we would just like, if we could do that with this project.
Regardless of whether it needs a conditional use approval or not, we'll keep the dialogue open.
So now, is Neil coming back up or you're next? Yeah. These guys are itching.
No, they're perfectly fine. Just.
Do you have any questions for me? Does anybody have any other questions for me on this?
I don't know.
I think we're good.
I do. I want to just take you through the exhibit that you went through. What's it? Exhibit 20? Okay. I just want to make clear which plans are which. So, the 10th page in that has on the bottom approved January 2019 conditional use plan. That's the previously approved plan, correct?
That's correct.
And on the next page, which is again titled approved master plan, is that a blown out depiction of the previously approved 2019 plan?
It is highlighting units J and K.
Okay. And then the next page, January 4th, 2022, master plan amendment. That's the master plan amendment that was submitted with the application that is no longer being presented to this board.
That's correct.
Okay. And on the next page, the April 1st, 2022 revised master plan amendment. That is the current plan being presented to this board for consideration.
Correct.
And on the next page, April 1st, and I believe we said it was 2022, not 2023 amendment, that's a blown out version of what's currently being presented to the board for consideration.
That's correct, highlighting units J and K.
Correct. And the next page,
That appears, is that the originally approved site plan?
That's correct.
From 2019?
Correct.
The next page, is this the current?
This is the April.
April 2022 first. Plan currently presented to this board for consideration?
Correct.
And then the following pages all appear to be either architectural renderings of the proposed buildings and/or height, I guess.
Building height exhibits.
Depending upon the type of use. Okay. I just wanted to make that clear because what I don't want is the record to be muddy with respect to different plans that I get submitted.
You hit everything perfectly.
And I believe you didn't really testify to these, but. What's been marked as applicant 21?
The master plan.
Yes. It's dated. Revision date April 1, 2022. That's the current plan set being presented to this board for consideration.
That's correct.
Hey, Pat. Well, I'm going to have Bill Fredericks testify to the site plan and to the traffic.
Okay.
Yeah, to the traffic.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Suggesting reducing the number of trees that we count.
I'm sorry?
We're not suggesting that we're reducing the number of trees that we're committed to under the original.
Okay, so. It's Mr. Gall.
I've got, yeah, thanks. Julie's been helpful.
They will circle
helpful.
Back.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Fisher, I don't want to put you on the spot, but it sounds like regardless of the street being removed, the applicant is still potentially proposing to.
We'll comply with street tree requirements.
You follow him.
He wasn't
involved in how he.
And Mr. Fisher, is it fair to say after looking at the application, nothing has changed with respect to the proposed applicant owner for these two phases?
That's correct.
Meaning it's going to be Hershey Hankin West End Apartments Venture Unit J, LLC?
And then Unit K.
Yes, I was going to that.
Okay, yes.
And the other one is Hershey Hankin West End Apartments Venture Unit K, LLC?
Correct.
Okay. I
think that's, I think let's move on to the, unless the board members have any questions of Mr. Fisher at this time.
We're good now. I would just remind everybody, please speak into your microphones if you have questions or comments, because I know that my cell is getting hard to hear.
If, before we excuse you, in the event that after the board has an opportunity to digest this little, the revised version after the 21 little bit more, and the township staff has the opportunity to review it, are you available to come back to whenever this board continues this year? In the event there are additional questions of you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you very much.
Next, please. This is Bill Fredericks of RGS. I'm going to do more question and answer.
Okay. And just make sure it goes through spelling first name and last name so we have it done correct for the record.
Bill, can you introduce yourself?
I need to swear the witness. And if you could both kind of speak into the mic, it may be a little hard, but thank you. Sir, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Shedd, go ahead.
Bill, introduce yourself to the board, please.
Sure. My name is William Fredericks. I'm a registered engineer in the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay. And are you familiar with the curriculum vitae that you provided to me, and it is part of the application, it's part of the exhibit booklet at Exhibit 15?
Yes.
Okay. And for how long have you been a professional engineer?
14 years.
And have you only worked at RGS, or have you worked at other places?
I worked at a firm previously in Allentown.
Okay. And what types of projects do you generally work on as a
Commercial, residential, retirement, typically land development projects.
Okay. Do you prepare site plans and land development plans?
Yes.
Yeah. And you supervise the preparation of site plans and land development plans?
Yes.
And have you been retained by Hershey Trust Company to prepare the site plans for this entire project?
Yes.
And have you ever testified as an expert in civil engineering and land development?
Yes.
And are you up to date on your continuing education?
Yes.
With that, I would ask the board to recognize Mr. Fredericks as an expert in civil engineering and land development.
I don't have any questions to challenge his qualifications.
I think we can accept his testimony.
Bill, did you prepare what is now being referred to as Exhibit 21, which is titled Amendment to Master Plan for Hershey West End Master Plan Mixed-Use Development?
Yes, under my supervision.
Okay, and how does this plan turn to sheet 3? How does this plan differ from the plan that was submitted with the application of the for the amendment to the master plan?
This is the level one.
That would make it a little bit tougher to testify to.
The revised plan revises Lot K, and in doing so goes back to the original master plan number of units for townhomes and apartments. Again, units are still shifting from Lot K to Lot J.
And are there any other changes to the master plan other than J and K that was approved in 2019?
So from a master plan filing, Lot J and Lot K are the two revised lots with more refined footprints. We are eliminating tree D, as Neil mentioned, as part of the application. And then really the other part of the application, I would say, is the phasing plan, as was mentioned.
And
Bill, can I just stop you for a second?
you have the plans on the thumb drive, per chance? Continue on your... I'm going to go downstairs and... I have to load the wrong plans.
Sorry, Chuck.
That was me.
And does this... plan that you shared, does this match the colored plans that were part of Mr. Fisher's presentation?
Yes.
And then moving to Exhibit 23, Exhibit 22, this is a shared parking analysis, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how does this shared parking analysis differ from what was submitted as part of the application?
So the shared parking analysis just refines... refines the analysis based on the updated site plan. So with the original master plan, the shared parking analysis was done in conformance with the ordinance. And that shared parking analysis, the shared parking in the ordinance takes into account peak times of when uses are going to occur. So commercial uses are different than, say, residential uses are different than a restaurant, different than a business. So the shared parking, what that allows is to find more of the peak times within the parking to find the more that I would say that a truer demand of the parking on the site. And by doing a shared parking analysis, what that allows is less impervious, less runoff, less stormwater, potential implications through the site. So for each phase of the plan, a shared parking analysis is done and will be updated as plan development is done, showing compliance with each phase to ensure there's enough parking throughout the site. One important clarification with the shared parking that we've done throughout the master plan process is on-street spaces are not included in the count. So the parking count shown within the shared parking analysis that shows that it meets it are just the off-street spaces. On-street spaces, which are about 1,000, are not included in those numbers.
And does the shared parking analysis prepare? I believe you've already answered this question. Does this meet the ordinance standards for parking within the master plan development?
Yes.
And was there a change in the parking analysis based upon the previous concept of moving townhouse units to apartment units,
Yes. So the shared parking was updated from the original one. Townhomes and apartments are counted differently. Actually, apartments themselves, one bedrooms count at a different ratio than two bedrooms. Both apartments and townhomes have an additional unit for every five units, I believe. I should just look at my analysis, but I believe it's every five. So, yes, the parking analysis was updated to essentially refer back to what the original master plan had. Obviously, the spaces were counted and accounted for on the plan, and that's how the shared parking analysis was updated.
So is there any difference between this parking analysis, or any material difference between this parking analysis and the one that was part of the approved plan?
Same methodology, same process, just done with the updated plan.
And then finally, with Exhibit 23, and that is the phasing schedule. Since you were the one that prepared that exhibit, can you confirm that what I was saying about that exhibit is true and correct?
Yes, I think I will. I agree. There are kind of 15 kind of letters broken down, as Mr. Shuddy, 15, and then you have H1, H2, H3. Really, the update from the original master plan. The original master plan took a step at what we thought would occur. This starts to break down the specific condo units as they would be taken down by the tenants. And when the tenant comes on board, such as Hankin, they'll go within any one of these condo units. So our phasing is really trying to reflect how the actual construction process would occur with tenants obtaining one of the condo units.
In the original approval, there was some discussion about street trees. I'm trying to find it in here right now. Is there any intent to change the condition for the approval? Is condition Y in the original approval it says that developer will space street trees per the requirements of Chapter 225 zoning. Control locations for street trees will not interfere with utilities, site distances, building locations, grades, public lands, view shed, generally compliant with the plans presented at the hearing. All street trees required, but Chapter 225 will be planted on site. Is there any change in the intent to comply with this shown on what is now Exhibit 21 from the originally approved master plan?
There is no intent to change from that requirement. If I could just clarify for the board, where that stemmed from is right here in the core. You have a lot of walkability, a lot of restaurants, and a lot of sidewalks. And there's not necessarily those planting areas to put all the street trees as required every, I think it was 40 to 60 feet. I think there was some leeway to it. But there wasn't enough space to fit all the street trees in there. So what that required, what that condition is allowing us to do is provide the required number of street trees per the street frontage. But then space them still within the streetscape, but space them differently so that we had a larger gap than the 60 feet had specifically that intersection.
And then finally, Mr. Fredericks, may I ask the following questions? You answer them to the best of your professional expert opinion. Does the development as revised by this plan, will it adversely affect health, safety, and welfare of the residents in the neighborhood or district in which it is located?
It will not.
Okay. Will the use as modified by this application overburden existing public services such as water, sanitary sewer, public roads, storm drainage, and other improvements?
It will not, in my opinion. We do have capacity letters for sewer and water stormwater. So stormwater is accounted for on the site, actually, with the streets and infrastructure phase that started to install stormwater facilities. So it will fit within those. Rooms.
And speaking to stormwater, I believe Mr. Armstrong asked a question earlier. Does the impervious cover of the site materially change as a result of the modifications that we're requesting from the originally approved application?
I'm blank for all my papers, but the answer to your question is that it actually slightly decreases the impervious actually on both Lot J and Lot K. But if I may take a step back, at the master planning process, the impervious is, with the master plan is allowed to increase to 70%. The plan as shown up here is approximately 50%. And we designed all stormwater facilities to accommodate for 60% of the impervious. So there's some fluff in the stormwater facilities to increase it in impervious. And when we were doing our initial analysis, essentially each lot, so for instance, like lot, unit, Mr. Shuddy, unit J, unit K, those were internally assumed to be about 80% impervious, just so we made sure our stormwater numbers were. So based on the 80% number, as shown, the number is actually slightly less impervious for each lot.
Is the master plan project as modified here will be detrimental to the use or development of or change the essential character of the neighborhood or district in which this is proposed?
It will not.
Will the modifications we're requesting have any adverse impact on noise, dust, light, odor, or adequacy of parking?
It will not.
And are you familiar with all of the performance criteria for a master plan project, many of which are not applicable to this modification?
Yes, I am familiar with
them. Okay, and is the plan as modified, does that continue to be compliant with those?
Yes, except for the relief or the modifications requested.
As modified, it still meets those performance criteria?
Yes.
And you're familiar with the other requirements from the zoning ordinance, which may be applicable to this plan?
Yes.
Okay. And does the development as modified, does it meet all of those other requirements?
Yes.
I have no further questions for Mr. Ferber.
Questions from the board? Mr. Fredericks, so applicant, if you look at applicant 21, which is the current plan being presented, in my understanding after the discussion and the testimony is, if you look at the, on the very first page of that, the density for proposed single family dwellings, townhouses, apartments, that should all be the same and consistent with the 2019 approved master plan.
That is correct.
And is there anything on the first page of applicant 21, first page of that sheet, that differs or should differ from the first page of the 2019 master plan?
I can probably answer that for you. And that is the name of the owner was updated due to some naming issues we have at Hershey Trust Company. It was changed from Hershey Trust Company, trustee for Milton Hershey School, to Hershey Trust Company as trustee for the Milton Hershey School Trust. That does not change anything. The deed reference now refers to the consolidation deed that was recorded following the approval of the infrastructure and streets plan, and the tax parcel numbers now match up with the tax parcel numbers that are correct as a result of both the recording of the second amended interstated declaration of condominium and the consolidation deed. So it's all technical issues, nothing land development wise.
Aside from that, thank you.
Right.
Mr. Frederick, is there anything on the first page of applicant 21 that differs from the first page of the master plan approval, or the 2019 approved master plan first page?
Yep.
That would be relevant for this evening's hearing. I'm specifically probably looking at number of units, density, those types of summaries on the first page.
Yeah, so under site zoning data, you're correct, it all reverted back to the approved master plan with regard to number of units and density calculations. I can say that the building legend over, maybe on the right, it is I'd have to go back to the original master plan, but I believe LWU technically changed to provide clarification for the lot J that we are providing. So lot J has, I think, the large walk-ups are 20 units. So you'll just see the LWU clarifies, it says between 20 and 30 units. That was a specific unit. I think the range was specific on the initial master plan.
So you're saying the one thing that has changed when we're looking at the building budget is the description of the LWU. So I'm looking at the original 2019 first page sheet. It says large walk-up apartment buildings, multi-family apartment dwelling, three-story building, plus or minus 35 feet building height, 24 to 30 units per building. And you're saying that changed by way of...
The 24 was reduced to 20.
Okay. Okay. Other than that, any other changes on that page?
The phasing, the project sequence schedule, i.e. the phasing schedule, reflects what we have submitted.
And what you've marked as applicant 23 is a blown up, well, actually it's a more specific description of the phasing change.
That's correct.
Anything else on the first page about the 21 that changed from the originally approved
master plan?
I don't believe so.
Anything on the second page of applicant 21 that you believe has changed now compared to the 2019 master plan approval? That's a lot of notes.
So
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to put you on the spot. To the extent you don't know.
I can definitely clarify. We are requesting a modification. So if I take a step back to the streets and infrastructure plan, that was a land development plan that took the West End ad and created some additional streets. At that time, we requested a modification with that final land development plan for a modification of the street lighting that occurred when PP&L wouldn't put the style of, didn't agree to the style of lights that they were on. So
are you testifying about, I believe I did see a request from the applicant at some point to maintain ownership and responsibility associated with streetlights within the West End project?
That's correct.
And are you saying that's somewhere depicted on these notes?
That's correct.
On page 2 of applicant 21?
That's correct.
And that modification was granted as part of the infrastructure plan.
Understood.
Are there any other differences between page 2 of applicant 21 and page 2 of the originally approved 2019 master plan that you're aware of?
Yeah, the parking summary table and the accessible parking summary table. And then we added a street name legend. So at the master plan, we were still calling them street A and C. Since then, there have been names selected. So to help correlate street names to any future or current plans, there was a street name legend with the letter. I believe these plans actually keep the letter to try to keep as much conformance with them. Yes, they do keep the letter to try to help correlate it back to the master plan.
And you testified that some of the parking summary tables was changed.
Correct.
Based upon the, is that because of the updated shared parking analysis?
Correct.
And those differences are probably, is it fair to say they're laid out a little bit more specifically on what's been marked as applicant 22, which is the updated shared parking analysis?
That's correct.
Any other differences between page 2 of applicant 21 and the... You know the question.
Not that I believe.
Okay. Can we turn to the fifth page of applicant 21? And I think Mr. Fisher did a pretty good job, but since you prepared the plan, can you just walk the board through all of the changes?
I think what we're going to do is, so I want you to focus on that page for a minute. We'll have you answer Pat's question, but we're going to take a 15-minute break because everybody needs a break. Now we're going to have it for an hour and a half. I'm not going to ask for permission. I'm just going to say we're going to recess for 15 minutes. We'll restart again at 7:15. But that gives you a chance to kind of check back and take a look at that page. And I know Mr. Armstrong has some additional questions. So
basically, what we're going to get is if we can take that through specifically, that we're going to change it on this time.
From
the 2019.
So we'll be, that's 15 minutes. 15 minutes.